Amen, amen. Well, it took you guys a little bit to kind of get loosened up. I was going to title this message, Get Your Dance On. And then I was going to put on Facebook, Bring Your Dancing Shoes. How many of you on Twitter? How many of you on Twitter? You're on Twitter right now? Hashtag, Pastor said, Bring Your Dancing Shoes On. On Facebook, I want you to post on there, Pastor said, Get Your Dancing Shoes On. Come on, I'm telling you, do it right now. Right now. See, now you have an excuse, and now you don't want to get on your phone. But when I'm preaching, you're over here texting. And okay, I'm just saying, hashtag, get your dancing shoes on. If you're on Twitter, I don't know. I don't tweet. I don't tweet. Josh, can you go ahead and lift up the screen and turn that off, please? Now, on Facebook, you want to put on there on your status. Pastor at the House of Manna said, bring your dancing shoes. Dancing shoes. Do y'all know how to get your dance on? Some of y'all are like, yeah, just not to Christian music. If it had been on a Saturday night, well, maybe a Friday night. What do they call it, Working Women's Wednesdays? So that's why y'all ain't here on Wednesday night for Bible study. Shame on y'all. Just saying. Did y'all hashtag it? Did you put it on Facebook? All right, I'm just going to give y'all an opportunity to do that right now. Then after that, we're going to get into this message. Amen? How many of you are on Instagram? Got Instagram. Do it. Do it to it. Come on. Send it out. Take a picture of your shoes or whatever and say, bring your dancing shoes on to church today at the House of Manna. Come on. Do it. Do it. I'm giving you that opportunity right now to get on all your social media. And y'all looking at me like, is this a trick? No, it ain't a trick. Come on. Come on. Take a picture of your shoes. Oh, for some of y'all, take your shoes off and take a picture of your feet. I danced so much in church today, my shoes came off. Some of y'all were like, I just want to get some worship on. Get some worship on. I want to get my dance on. I want to get my dance on, James. You know why I want to get my dance on? There's some things in life that worship can keep you in a state. Okay, now see, I want to get me started. Now, I just wanted to just say hello first. See, when you're in worship all the time, most of us begin to start weeping and crying, but then we think that what we're doing is we're feeling the presence of God. What we're doing is feeling the situation we've been in. So then he says, oh, just worship. But if you're not balanced in your praise and worship, you can get stuck on the other side and never get your praise on. When you begin to praise, it begins to set the atmosphere for your miracle. Oh, see. James, they don't want to hear this, man. They don't want to hear it. Because when you start to get your praise in the atmosphere, before things have even changed, you are preparing the atmosphere for your miracle. Even though nothing has happened, nothing has changed, your praise sets the atmosphere for your miracle. But you see, if we get so caught up in our situation and our circumstance, and we're going to worship, but we don't get our praise on, it's only going to be, I'm sorry. We have got to get our praise on so we can change the atmosphere. Okay. Then when God does what he said he was going to do, I will inhabit the praises of my people. What does that mean? He's going to come and habitate with you. He's going to live in your circumstance. Because he lives in your circumstance doesn't mean it changes yet. It requires you to do something. Okay, I'm going to set this up, okay? When I used to break horses, they used to tell me, before you can go out there and break the horse, you better get to know that horse. I'm a city boy. I was a city boy just because I had a hat on and boots made me a cowboy, right? I went up and I said, I got to get to know the horse. Hi, horse. I'm Marty. Horse just staring at me like, I got you today. And so this old man came up to me. He was harsh, man. I mean, he was harsh. I'm just going to say it. Some of y'all may get a little offended by it, but oh well. You came to a real church. It's rated R on the door for a reason. It's real, relevant, and kind of race. Racy. Guess we can say Racy. Racy. When the man would come up to me, this old man had the smell of Budweiser on him so thick. Now some of y'all looking, well, what's that smell like? Well, then obviously you haven't been around Budweiser long enough. You get around Budweiser, you know the smell of Brother Bud. Not that other Bud. This was wiser than the other Bud. But he would get around me and I could smell him. I said, boy, sir, it's 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, yeah, that's my breakfast. I'm thinking, am I in the right place? I just want to learn how to ride horses. He says, my horses know when I walk up to them. I said, anybody will know when you walk up if they smell you from a long way off. So he came up to me. He says, son, the horse is going to know if you're scared. Can sense your fear just like that. I said, then he's smelling something all right because I'm scared. That thing's bigger than me. He says, put your neck to his mouth. Y'all remember, what was that? What you talking about, Willis? Remember that? I looked at him. What you talking about, old man? Put your neck to his mouth. Oh, shoot. I was so scared. I went up to the horse like that. It bit me. I was so scared. And it bit me. You know, they don't really, they don't bite real hard. They just kind of nibble. I was so dramatic. That man thought for sure blood was coming out every. I was so scared. Ah! He got that horse so scared, the horse went. He says, do it again. So this time I'm over there. Ah, ah. And then the horse put its head right on my head. He says, now walk with it. See, some things just don't make no sense, do it? But I've never been where this man has been. I'm going to go somewhere with this. I've never understood what this man already understands. He says, now just walk with the horse's head on your head. How am I going to do that? Now, I'm just going to say it because, you know, me, I just have a tendency to be worried about certain things that I shouldn't be worried about, but I was worried about my hat. I just got my hat. It was a brand new Stetson hat, and I just got it on. And I said, it's not my hat. He says, boy, I'm about to hit you. This old man was mean. He was mean. He came, I'm going to hit you. And I felt like I got drunk off that Budweiser. So he kicked me. Not the horse, the man. Kicked me. I think I was the one being broken that day, not the horse. After I said, you know, I don't want to be around horses no more. He says, would you walk? I start walking, and the horse starts following. He says, stop. And I stop. And the horse stopped. But the horse never lifted itself off of me. He says, you've got to know before you can mount, before you can mount something that you've never been on, you've got to get acclimated to the circumstance that you're facing. Just because you got vision and you got call or anointing, you got the Holy Ghost. Unless you get acclimated to what you're about to do before you step in and do it, you better know that there's where you belong. I just gave you a nugget from heaven. Y'all looking at me like, where are you going about that horse? See, that horse never had me on him. But that horse had never had anybody on him. But before I could get on him, he had to get to know me. And I had to get to know him. As scared as I was, I'm spooky. I real scared. You know how long that day was for me? Guess what my job was? Was to walk around with the horse's head on my head all day long. Yeah, you're laughing, huh? You're laughing. Yeah. So I'm walking, the horse is right there on my neck the whole time. We're walking, just walking, just walking. The next day I said, okay, now what am I going to do now? He said, I want you to go up to him again, put your neck there. felt like Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san. What are you doing? Right? I felt like that. So I go and do it again. I put my neck right there. This time, before he goes to my neck, he puts his head on my head. He learned by being close to me. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Before you can get to your next level, you've got to know where you're going. You got to get acclimated to where God is going to send you. How many of you have been called to minister into foreign soil? Come on, raise your hands. Raise your hand. Foreign soil. That means not soil of your own, soil someplace else. Are you scared to raise your hand or raise it up high? Okay, raise it up high. You're called to foreign soil, right? That means you better get to understand where God is going to send you before you even get there. Once you get acclimated to the region he's going to send you by way of studying, then he's going to call you to mount. So on the third day, the second day, guess what I had to do? The second day, I had to walk around with that horse, but this time I had to put the bit in its mouth and the reins. Not get on, just put it on my head. I mean, put the horse's head, the rein in his mouth, and just have everything. And he would just walk with me still. What was he doing? He was getting used to something different that he hadn't had yet. So I'm thinking, now I'm getting ready to jump on the third day. He says, now I want you to go and walk in that pond. These are Justin's. Some of y'all don't know about that. It's Justin Roper. See, they don't know about this. Girl, how you know my mail like that, girl? They were the red ones. Remember my red ones, mama? Remember the red ones? You remember the red ones? Yeah, put on the stranglers. You know the stranglers. Can't breathe, can't walk. So I had to walk in this pond. Watch this. Before I could get on, he said, I want you to walk in that pond. And this man had a little bit too much to drink. So I walk into this pond. Here comes the horse still following me. He says, make sure that horse is all the way in there. I said, the horse is taller than me. He says, you're going to have to swim out there. And I'm drenched. Jeans, boots, shirt, hat. The whole time I'm thinking, this man is just nuts. I want to see how far I'm going to go. So I get this horse into this pond. I said pond, not lake, not river. I said pond. How many of y'all been around ponds? They stanky. So when you step, that's the mud. So now he says, okay, now that the horse's back is in the water, now you can get on. Where are my boots? In the mud. Watch this. Y'all think I'm being silly. I'm always silly. Before you get ready to mount what God has given you, it's the hardest thing is to get on. You feel like you're weighted down from the feet down. Just giving an analogy about breaking horses. Just get your feet up there. They're stuck. Pull. I'm trying. Horse's head. Don't forget, horse's head. Can you imagine the sight? Yeah, you're like, Pastor, can you get to the Bible? So now, I know I'm getting ready to get on this horse. I've got very close to this horse. He knows me very well. He's learned to trust me. I've learned to trust the horse. Now my fear is gone. But I can't get on the horse. Because my feet are weighed down. See, what happens before you get to your greatest breakthrough, before your miracle ever shows up on the scene, your feet are weighted down. It keeps you from dancing before the Lord. See, if he can keep your praise on lockdown, you'll never be able to get up and mount on to what he has brought to you to do. Through your whole process, you may feel like you're weighted down with the weight of the world on you. But there's something inside of you has to have a determination. Get that thing out of the mud called stuck and get on what God has brought you to. Amen to the two of you that got it. You will see your breakthrough. The others are still going to wonder, did he ever get on the horse? Yes, I did. I got on that horse, and that horse knew me so well that we walked around that pond. I never got bucked off of one horse, ever. Why? Thank you, Jesus, that the drunk old man on that bud made him a lot wiser. I set all that up, and y'all look at me. So I got on that horse and I learned something about myself. That if I would have quit because I was stuck, I would have never learned how to break in horses without hurting myself. If I'd have done it my way, I would have just jumped on the horse out there and never been ridden, never got to know me, would have bucked me off many times. Many people get hurt by getting bucked off a horse. And I'm spooky. I would have never got on a horse again. Some things that you're going to go through is going to require you to stretch. 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 Get your Bibles. Get your Bibles. Hey, Pastor, that was a long setup for this. You have an image now, don't you? You have an image. That's good, right, Mama? Well, give me a high five, Mama. All right. Okay. Act 3. Scene 3. Act 3. Verse 1, the book of Acts of the Holy Spirit, not the Acts of the Apostles. It's the act of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3, verse 1, 1 through 11. I'm going to read out of the NIV. When you're there, say amen. We will begin reading now at verse 1. One day, Peter and John, say dynamic duo, were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 in the afternoon. Lord Jesus, if we can get people to do that again. Now, a man who was lame from birth, say from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into church, temple courts, church. When he saw the dynamic duo, Peter and John, about to enter, he asked them for money, like most people do. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. I love that. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. This writer is something else, huh? Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention. Pay attention. Expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver or gold, I do not have. But what I do have, I give you. Watch this. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet, say feet, and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. And then when he went to them in the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to be sitting begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened and what had happened was and what had happened to him. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's true and I thank you that it stretches us. I thank you, Lord, that when we pray for you to show us something that we've never seen, you oblige. You will show us things that we have overlooked, things that we don't pay attention to, but things that we may see that is insignificant is the very thing that you've called us to pay attention to. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you enlighten our minds, illuminate our hearts. And, Father, we thank you that our path that you have for us, Lord, has been lighted all the way through. Lord, we thank you that in our stretch, God, comes the expansion. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Do you believe you're being stretched? I've asked this for weeks now. How many of you are being stretched? Some of y'all said, yes. Others are like, Lord, I can't take it no more. We are being stretched, but there's a purpose behind everything that God does. God doesn't do anything just because. He does it because he has a plan. He has a purpose. The old man, I'm going back to the story now, the old man, Mr. Budweiser, had a plan for me. I couldn't see it. I thought he was making fun of me. I thought this man was saying, this Mexican is going to get hurt, so I better just take him a different route, because if he was to go his way, he would get hurt. So I better bring him this way so he won't get hurt. See, there's some things that we don't understand while we're in the stretch. In the stretch. He wants to stretch us. Nobody likes to be in stretch. I was going to title this The Stretch Marks of Birthing. No? Not that one? No, we don't want to do The Stretch Marks of Birthing, because then we think you got to deal with everything else that comes along with it. You know, you're not supposed to be scratching when you're pregnant, right? And then you're like, no, don't do that. You're going to leave. Stretch mark. Question was, I don't care whether you're going to scratch or not scratch. You're going to get stretch marks because you don't stretch yourself from nothing to a big old balloon. You're going to have some sort of mark on you from being stretched. It's a secret. Shh. I'm going to title this message, Don't Get Used to This. Don't Get Used to This. I feel my dance coming on. Don't get used to this. I feel my dance coming on. Now, the kingdom of God is being expanded. It's being expanded. God's intention is to expand his kingdom, right? So we read in the scriptures, and all through the time that Jesus was here on earth, he challenged and he stretched his disciples. Did he not? Every single time Jesus comes, watch this. First thing he does, he goes into the Jordan and he tells who? His cousin. He tells his cousin, baptize me. Watch this. Cousin, pastor, minister. Watch this. Baptize me. What does cousin say? Oh, look, cuz, we can't do it this way. I can't even tie your shoes. You the pastor. I'm just a tithe and offering kind of minister, you know. I can't do that. He said, oh, no, we can't have it any other way. Scripture must be fulfilled. Oh, cuz says, all right, cuz, get in that water. It's on. And my Bible reads a little different. So cuz says, okay, I know where you've been. I know you. Let's see where this is going. Oh, wait a minute now. You remember the story? Mary was pregnant. Elizabeth was pregnant. Mary enters into the room to the cousin, and what was inside the other cousin leaped. That's that cousin. Okay, that's the cousin right there, always leaping for joy. Okay, now here comes fulfillment of the scripture. Now he comes and says, I must be baptized by you. No, I can't baptize you. I'm not even fit to tie your shoe. You must baptize me. He says, no, I can't do it. Heck, it has to be fulfilled this way. So he baptizes him, right? Here comes the announcement. Now it's heard. God speaks. This is my son. And they see the Holy Spirit come upon them. Right? Everybody's there. They see the Holy Spirit come on, and it looks just like a dove. And then they hear the voice of God. You would think these people said, no question, that's the Son of God right there. Right? No question. What happened? They got stretched. The people got stretched. You don't find in Scripture that they heard from God before. Okay, hold on now. So all of a sudden now they hear from heaven the voice of God, but they still turn away from Jesus. Kind of sounds like the church today. They hear from God, but they still turn away. Yeah, he gives a decree of what we're to do. Go out to the highways and the byways and reach out to those that are lost. We still can't get them out there. It's all right. I'm just saying. I had a sister come in here and preach on Wednesday. Kind of convicted us all. I left here with just bruises all of my toes and everything. I've been out there and I still feel convicted. Gets baptized, and now there's a declaration. Watch this. There's a declaration. But you can't declare something if you don't demonstrate it. You can't have a declaration without a demonstration.
I got it.
Just help me. Come help me. When something is declared in the atmosphere, it's not going to become real until it's demonstrated. So here comes the Holy Ghost, comes on top of Jesus. Jesus says, okay, it's been done. Holy Spirit now says, okay, go into the wilderness. You imagine what Jesus was thinking? Lord. You want to tell everybody I'm your son? Now you're going to tell me. Okay. Don't wait on me. You're going to help me. So then he gets tested, right? Gets tested. Here's the stretch. Now here's the head of the church, Jesus Christ, getting stretched. 40 days, 40 nights without any water, any food. Chanda. I know that's why it couldn't be me. Some of y'all couldn't go a week without your barbacoa. Some of y'all, I don't eat barbacoa. I don't eat no meat. I don't know what I am, but I don't eat that. Whatever you want to eat. Y'all know y'all couldn't go another week without it. 40 days, 40 nights. And what does Jesus come? I mean, Jesus is there. He does it, right? Because every time you're being stretched, it's purpose to expand. It's purpose for your expansion. So here comes God. And God now sends his son into this world. And we all know, okay, for the sins of the world. Right? Sins of the world. Goes to the cross. Now, I'm going to fast forward quite a bit. Now he begins his ministry. But the first thing he does, he selects his disciples. Who does he select? The dynamic duo. Peter and John. What were they doing? They were fishing. They were in business together, right? They were in business together. Fishing. Okay. They were fishing together. So they've worked together. They've already known how to be together. They've known how to work in situations together. So Jesus calls them. I said, okay, since y'all ain't got this thing done right, I see the fish from here. And you're fishing way out there. The fish are right here. Just throw the net right there. Mita, how come they didn't see the fish? That many fish. They couldn't see the fish. Did y'all ever think about this? They take the boat way out there in the ocean. Out there. They catch nothing. They come in. Oh, by the way, just throw it on the other side of the boat. Like you couldn't see the fish on the other side of the boat to begin. Y'all don't think about this? It's just my mind is a little sometimes out there. I don't think, how come you can't see a fish? Because sometimes I could go to, what is it? The Japanese, what is that? Sunken Gardens. You can go to Sunken Gardens over there, and you know what? They see all the koi. You can see. And if you just throw a little bit of those pellets that they give you, they're on top of each other. They said there was so much fish in that net that the boat started capsizing. My question, how come they couldn't see it before? Y'all don't think about this stuff? Let me share with you. It's because your eyes haven't been open to what God sees for you. You're so caught up on what I haven't had. It hasn't come. I appreciate what you shared. My house hasn't come, but I still got faith to believe. Why? That's vision. See, when Jesus steps on the scene, he's going to speak into the things that you do not have yet. What you were set out to get. But you still can't see it because you're locked up in your own vision, not his vision. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful week. Because think about it. You're so caught up in what you didn't get when you thought you were supposed to get it. You went out and you set sail to go and get it, but you didn't get it when you were out there where you were supposed to get it. So they have to come in to Jesus. And then he says, oh, by the way, they're on the other side of the boat. Just cast your net there. They never saw it before. Here's the thing. Your greatest miracle and opportunity comes when you come to Jesus. And your eyes are open to a supernatural event that you couldn't see in the natural. Lord, I have no means to get to Africa. God said, really? Just hold on a minute. How much you need? Well, God, let me put it to you this way. I need $3,000 for this and I need $3,000 for that. What you gonna do now? Provide. Really? Says, are you doubting me? Are you doubting me? No, I'm not going to doubt you. I just can't see it. He says, exactly. You caught up in the natural when I'm about to do something supernatural for you. You've been in that vessel, the boat that I've called you to be in. And I said, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But the problem is you had a hard time of letting go of your now. You had a hard time of letting go of your now, what you know. I know I'm working in back there with the cameras, but because we didn't know what our then was going to be. You don't know what your next day is going to bring. So he was stretching them. Can you leave what you know so I can show you what you do not know? But I'm going to use what I've created you to already do. I made you to be a fisherman, but I'm going to make that gift and that talent that I've given you become the thing that I'm going to use for my glory. If you don't know your gift, and if you don't know your talent that he is giving you, you're going to stay stuck in the mud and never mount what God has given you. Get out of your now so you can embrace your then. We get so caught up in what we think is going to be done in this manner, and Jesus came to stretch them. He said, now follow me. Leave all of what you know behind so I can show you. Originally, when I formed you in your mama's womb. See, before I formed you, I knew you. What did that mean? He says, we had relationship. Hold up now, hold up. This may be a little bit too high for you. So let me bring it down for you. You were up in heaven with God all along. And you had relationship with your creator all along. Then he formed you and put you into your mama's womb. But you already knew him. You were already created in his image. You were already intimate with God. That's why the enemy wants to keep the intimacy level away from you and God. Because it started in a level of intimacy because I... What does that mean? Break it down. Before I formed you, I knew you. We were intimate together. Why do you think the enemy is trying to cause all kind of distraction in your life? Trying to hate your brothers and sisters. Trying to hate your mother and father. Trying to hate your pastor. You better stop it. Wants to cause all kind of division. Wants to break that very thing. The reality is, God says, no, I'm going to use that thing I already put inside of you from the very beginning. I'm going to take my time with this message. I am. And now I'm going to fast forward and bring you along, and I want you to see. Was it Peter and John? But wasn't it just last week? The Three Musketeers? James was in there somewhere all the time, wasn't he? Okay, but now on this time, now we see. Watch this. In the scripture I just read, this dynamic duo now. This is Peter and John. Well, let's look at that. I began to look back at Peter. You know, Peter, that's my man. That's me. Knucklehead. That's knucklehead. Say something to me. I'll cut you here. Say, I'll show you Holy Spirit and all. What? You better identify with who you are in the Bible. See, I was making a mess all along. Mama, I'm making a mess all along, right? Mama said, boy, you somewhere, you just out there somewhere. You're out there, you really out there. Sometimes I want to call you and I said, no, I better leave him out there because he's out there. Finally, mama said, you know what, God, he's yours. He's not mine anymore. He's yours. I give him to you. I went through the worst hell of my life when she did that. I give you to God. I know what that meant. I mean him. I can do this by myself too. I'm going through hell. What she did was what exactly Abraham did. I give you my Isaac. You deal with him. He's yours. And then things begin to change. Well, I look at Peter. I said, Peter, you're full of zeal. Fire. I got fire. Zeal. But I read all that time before Jesus went to the cross, he had no wisdom. Think about it. I just told you last week. What did he do? I saw Jesus. And I saw Moses and I saw Elijah. I'm a fisherman, but I'll build you three houses. Wait a minute. Who was there with them? John and James. John didn't say a word, did he? John probably looking back. Well, build it. Dale. I'm watching. I didn't say I built. You said you'd build it. I'm going to watch. What you going to do now, huh? You know, you got some folks in your life like that watching you the whole time. All that praying you've been doing, ain't nothing changed. All that fasting just got you skinny. I like that part, but it's all right. But every time you go on a fast, you make me fast because there ain't no food in the house because you're the one doing all the good. So. You ever call it? We go on a fast. The kids are like, oh no, man, we ain't gonna eat nothing now. And then they even get to the point, okay, what kind of fast was it? Liquid. Oh. You know, every time you do something, there's someone with you. There's always someone with you. And there's someone always watching you. Peter was quick with his mouth. Huh? I'll build you a house. I don't know how. But I got my amigos over here. We'll do it. John didn't say a word, did he? You don't hear him say a word. Ever. So let's fast forward now. They're sitting there at the Last Supper. It's Peter. And John. And all the other disciples are sitting there. Eating dinner. They bring out the lechon. Y'all don't know what that is. That's pork. That's that lechon that's been sitting in that box. It's just, or how do we say it? De pozo? When you cook it in, right? She said, wait a minute, I've never cooked it in the ground. Yes, you have. We didn't have no barbecue pits back then. We just open up the ground and put the pig in there, wrap it up with the burlap and everything, put some water, put some stuff on it, and cover it. That's how we used to do. So they got the pig off the ground. This thing is looking really good. They put it on the table. And Jesus now looks over at them because, you know, Jesus likes to eat food. He likes to eat food. If you ain't got, guess what he's going to do? He's going to get you a whole lot. Someone should have got that one. You got it, sir. You got it. Watch this. If you ain't got, you're going to get a whole lot. Watch. So they're sitting there at the table. They're getting ready to eat the pork. And he says, one of you will betray me before the cock, the crow, you know, that thing. Three times. I feel the Holy Ghost. And so, rooster crows, that's it. Three times. You ain't helping, man. Come on, you. You're trying to find that. Look. So watch this. What does Peter say? Peter says, Lord, who is that? It would never be me. I would never. All right, there's Peter, big old mouth. Never got, but who is it? Not knowing it was him. Watch. There's John in the room. There's John in the room. John the beloved, the only one that writes it in my Bible, the one that Jesus loved. Conceited. So during this time, what does John do? He puts his head on his shoulder. He puts his head on Jesus' chest. Because he's so loved. Now, when you read that, doesn't it? I know y'all gotta pray for me. I'm out there, and I need, like Moses, I need deliverance. Listen, John puts his head on the chest of Jesus. What does that depict to you? A man of love, right? Love, compassion. He's loving. And when you hear about Peter, what does Peter do? He's cutting off ears. He's always talking about folks. So, I mean, do you see the differences? Do you see them? Okay, how many dynamic duos do you know of? Now, don't go there now. Don't say. Look. Y'all start looking like, sure. I'm like Ike and Tina, sure. Right? Oh, the Golden Girls. You got the Golden Girls. Okay. Wait a minute. There's some dynamic duos with all this. You got Batman, you got Robin. You got Shaq, you got Kobe. All right now. Y'all like, hey, Pastor, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, not back then. Back then, he needed Shaq. Kobe couldn't do it by himself. He hasn't been back to another championship since. I'm just saying. Oh, but wait a minute. Jordan needed Scottie Pippen. There was always somebody else that was different. Always somebody else that was different. You had Tom and Jerry. They could never see eye to eye. They could never catch one another, but they loved one another. about this one? Some of y'all ain't going to get it. Starsky and Hutch. Thelma and Louise. George and Wheezy. Yeah! Or Sanford and Son, Abbott and Costello. Lucy. And Ricky Ricardo. You always gotta have someone. But it's in the differences that matter. What has society showed us? You don't want to get around somebody that has differences. What? It is in the differences that God brings the duo together. We always got somebody connected with us. Come on, baby. You're walking through so fine today. Come on. Come on. Now listen. I'm your Ricky. I'm your Ricky. Go on, shut that. Oh, shut. Now watch it. You always got someone with you that God has destined for you. I see it, baby. Destiny calls us to be together. But am I like you? Lay hands, it's all right. But are you like me? No. But but it's in the differences that God uses. See, we think we got to be just like everybody else, and we have to be alike. I find it very interesting that in this scripture that I was reading, it was Peter and John, the dynamic duo that God chose to use as a demonstration of what was going to take place. Now, you're reading there where they brought the lame man to where? To church. They brought him to church. You want to call it, the gate called beautiful. What does that mean? The door to the church. That's what it means. It's the door to the church. Where they brought him since birth. Okay? No, they didn't put him there as a baby, just leaving him there. He was lame since birth, and then they brought him there all the time to do what? To beg for money. Now, some of us can say, you go stay with me up here. I miss you. I love you. Tú eres mi amor. Mi amor. That's it. I love my wife a little bit. That's all right. It's going to help me set the atmosphere in here. Set the atmosphere in here. You know, listen. They walk. Who am I going to use as illustration? Who haven't I used? Lionel. No, we use Lionel all the time. Use Charlie all the time. Sure. No, we're not going to use the female. So y'all looking at me. Would you get to it? No, I'm going to make you wait. See, the man had been waiting there for so long for change. But not change, the change that you think it would change the circumstance. He was asking for change. I can get really crazy here with this one. He goes to the church, and what does Peter say? Silver and gold I have not for you. Can you imagine the lame man? You Christians are broke. You know you're thinking it because he's sitting there at the church, and he says, hey, it just change, spare some change. And Peter says, silver and gold I have not for you. Again, and these church folks don't give nothing. Can use this for the outreach. Ain't nobody want to give to those that are already in need. Jesus said if you... All right, I ain't going to go there because y'all already got beat up on Wednesday. All right, James, since you're in the front row, come on, James. You're at the doorway of the church. Go ahead and have a seat, sir. Go ahead and have a seat. Remember, you're lame. Matter of fact, why don't you go ahead and come in? Go ahead and come because you brought him. Right? Come on, Joseph. You brought him because he's just a pretty big dude. Joseph, come on. There you go. Come on, yo-yo. That's my yo-yo. That's my papa yo-yo. Okay. Now watch this. He's been lame since birth. That's what Scripture says, right? Lame since birth. Now, he couldn't have got to the church by himself. Scripture says that his friends brought him. Or someone brought him. See, Even in his circumstance, there's somebody that cares. Now, in this process, all he wanted to do was just ask for change, right? So his friends, can you imagine the sacrifice that they had to make every time? It said that they went up for the time of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of y'all are just getting ready for your nap. Should be time of prayer, but they're going to nap. See, Peter and John. Differences. Peter comes. John. Peter sees him, and he reaches out his hand. Let's get the two friends. Come back here in the back. They've already dropped them off. They've dropped them off there at the church. And he's at the church. He's looking. Can someone just give me some change? Friends just dropped them off. And the friend's like, okay, we'll be back later. We'll kind of schedule it because we've been doing this for so long. So instead of both of us having to come get them, I'll come up here about, you know, maybe 5 o'clock tomorrow, you know, and then you stay today. And then, hey we'll get Martin to come the next day and he'll come and pick them up. You know, it's just kind of a schedule to take care of the friend. This has been worn out now. See, the writer says that he's been like this since birth, and he's always been this way. And he's been there a long time. Say it with me, a long time. He's been there a long time. Now, all right, sir, since you've never been named in the scripture here, I want to make sure that you understand what's about to take place, okay, sir? I know you've been here a long time, so here comes Peter. Just like most church folks say, you don't come to church and just ask for money. Right? Now, most Christians say, you better go to church because you want something from God. The scripture does not say he wanted something from God. The scripture didn't even say he wanted to get healed from God. The scripture didn't even say anything about God. He just said, I just need some money. Here's Peter, knucklehead. Look at me. Look at us. Look at us. So the man's like, I just wanted money. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. Watch this. Don't miss this. Get up and walk. Wait a minute. Did he come to church to get healed? Did he come to church to get an experience and a touch from God? Did he come so that he can get baptized and the Holy Ghost start speaking and da 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 about something? No. Matter of fact, he went for the wrong reason to church, didn't he not? Which church folks will say, you shouldn't be going to church if you want to go get a hookup in church. You're making sure y'all, okay. He says, but what I do have, watch, what is John doing? Nothing. Just watching the whole time, right? What did John say in the scripture? Nothing, right? Nothing, just watching. So what is John? John is a watchman that is watching what is taking place. Didn't say John was praying. But he says this. He extends his hand. Read your scripture. Get up and walk. Watch this. He gets him up. What does the scripture say? Somebody read it out. What did it say?
At the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into
walking and leaping and what? Praising God. Give me that last song. Let's do that again. We're going to play this thing up right. You know what? Just move my pulpit out the way, sir. Thank you. You're being such a good friend to this lame man that you brought him. You know, you're so wonderful. You do a wonderful job. You always care for him, and you always bring him. Because your heart is for people, and your heart is to see them go in places and out of darkness. You will see even more light come to you. You will see more revelation and more knowledge come to you. Even that you do not know, it will come in downloaded for you to help those out of the darkest places of their life. Amen. Watch this. This is what it says. You got the last song? Okay, watch this. It says, get up and walk. Reaches with the right hand of authority, lifts him up. And then what does it say in this? Oh, he starts walking. All right, turn it up, sir. Turn it up. And then what? He starts praising God. Oh, you how to get their dance on. You just saw a miracle take place in somebody who's been sick for since birth. He didn't come to Jesus to ask for him to heal. He came looking for arms. Give me something. But what God gave him was something what he didn't need. He desired deep within inside of him for him to get set free, loose, and to get up. He's not praising and dancing. Come on now. You can be sitting someplace in the mess, stuck in the mud, and you can't get up on top of where you're at. Let's keep that new praise I showed you. So he starts praising. God starts jumping everything. What did John do? Nothing. What did the friends do? Nothing. But what did the man do? Give me a mic. Give me a mic. Give me a mic. Continue reading me. Watch this. Watch this.
Let me see. All the people saw him walking and heard him praising God.
Heard him praising God.
Hallelujah. When they realized, when they realized he was the lame beggar that they had seen.
Stop right there. Watch this. Hold up now. Don't get used to this down there. Don't get used to this down here. Don't get used to what used to be my now. Don't get used to what used to be my now. What used to be what identified me to you. What you, the one way that knew me was the lame man. No name was ever given to the lame man. Woo! But God has a tendency to use people that don't have a name for themselves so that God can make a name for himself to the people that didn't recognize power that was on high that came down for the man that knew where it came from. Watch this. Watch this. Continue reading. Continue reading.
They all rushed out in amazement to Solomon's colonnade where the man was holding tightly to Peter and John.
Oh, what? Get on the other
holding
side.
Holding tightly to Peter and John.
Watch this. Wasn't the man just dancing, walking, praising God? What does that last sentence say?
Where the man was holding tightly.
Why would you be holding tightly?
Not to lose what you gain.
After you've already been praising and dancing and walking, you've proven the power has already come through. But why would you be leaning, propped up against someone when you've already been proven that you could walk? His mind hadn't caught up to. The mind hadn't caught up to his reality. His mind was still stuck in the mud. For a moment, watch this, for a moment, you can leave here with the touch of God and you can get your praise and your shout on, but when you get outside, I need someone to lean on. I don't know what happened. Your mind hasn't been renewed. Watch this. Where were they at this point? Now they're walking into the church. Can you imagine what the lame man is saying now? Don't miss this one. I've been so used to being outside of church. I don't know what's going to happen on the inside. Because I know that every time I was on the outside, I saw a lot of the folks go in, coming out the same way. And they would walk over and bypass me. Going into church, coming out and walking right over me again. I don't know what to do inside this place. I knew what to do out here. I knew what to do out here. I could rely on my friends, but it didn't say that he leaned on his friends. It said he leaned on Peter and John. I believe that God is always going to use props. He propped up and he leaned on his props. But he didn't understand what was going on in there because he could only hear on the outside. And what he heard on the outside didn't make change either. You can be sitting right outside church or be sitting in church the whole time. But unless someone brings it in a different way. Because he was asking for money, wasn't he? He was asking for money. I didn't ask for this. I was asking for money. But I thank you for this. But here's the thing. I don't know what's next. I've only known this. I don't know what's ahead of me. I don't know what to do outside of where I've been. I don't know what to do in this state and in this elevation. For all my life, I've always been on the ground. But now that you have raised me up, I don't know what to do. It's one thing to walk. It's another thing to shout, to get your praise on. But then what? Then what? If you don't change your mind, you don't change your mindset. What's this? To everything, there's a cost. What did Peter do? He extended the hand of authority, commanded him to walk. Immediately, it says, immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. I said, Lord, why is this so important? He says, and how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And this man's feet were out of commission. And the church didn't know how to reach out to him, even though he was planted at the church. He was never moved. He was never swayed. He was always there all the time. You never know when your miracle is going to come right to you at the time that you weren't even asking for your miracle. It shows up on the scene anyhow, using a knucklehead that says, I have nothing to give you, but what I do have, I give you. Watch this. John, we think, just sat there and did nothing. But I believe John's love and compassion rubbed off on Peter enough to stop.
I run by myself.
You don't understand that you can be a knucklehead all your life. You can do things the way you want to do it all your life. But in who you're in connection with to make you a dynamic duo is going to come off and rub off on you. And then it's going to make you stop when you wouldn't have stopped. We think that John didn't do anything. John knew love. John had compassion. John knew, hey, if you don't get this, all I got to do is just pray. Somewhere along the line, Peter, you're going to understand something. That man has been waiting a long time. How many of you have been waiting for a miracle to show up in your life? It took the love of God to rub off on someone else. Said, I'm not going to walk over the miracle. I'm going to extend and stretch my hand. And bring healing to the feet. And if he needs to prop up, he can hold on to the instrument that God used. And he wanted to go with him. He didn't want to be left there no more. He wasn't crying for his friends no more. What he was saying is, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what's ahead of me now that I have strength to walk. Everybody can identify me with my lame self. I've been this way since birth. This is the way I've been. I don't know any other way. I need to be with you. I need you to hold me up. I need you to hold me accountable. Every time I want to go back to that place, you will hold me up. So I don't go back to that place. I'm going to hold on to what God has sent my way. I'm not going to let go. Whether you walk in the church or you walk out, I want to walk with you. And they could see there's a change in the individual. They said, that's the one that used to sit outside begging. This is the way I used to be. But I'm not that person now. I've got to learn to walk in my new beginning. I've got to learn to walk in my new beginning. But if you always want to go back, hold on to what God has given you by stretching. That's the first time you read that Peter stretched beyond a response that he was normally always giving. Peter stretched because of who he was with. So what happened to Peter after he healed the man? He got thrown in prison. Guess who was with him? John. John did nothing, but went everywhere where Peter went. Who are you with? Will tell you who you are. You read in Scripture, after this, Peter had so much boldness and compassion. He just said, you know what? If I'm going to prison, I'm going to preach my way all the way through. He says, why? And you can read the Scripture. He says, why are you looking at us that did this? It was not us. It came from Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the one in whom you persecuted. He came before you. You rejected him. You persecuted him. But one thing is for sure, that this, that what I speak and what I declare is being demonstrated. You can't go out there and bring good news but never demonstrate the goodness of God. Oh, you better hear this. Here's the charge that is coming to you. It's been prophesied into your life, beloved, into your life, that you would raise the dead and heal the sick. It's been prophesied to you that there is a healing hand anointing that is on you, that the hand of God is on you to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And you're going to do greater than that. You're going to begin to speak things into existence and you will see that the chains will fall off. They will fall off. Beloved, I encourage you, out of the mouth of the prophet, it shall not return void unto God. The words that have been spoken shall come into existence by the mere fact that God has spoken it, because he knew you before he formed you. Greatness and great exploits for the things in the kingdom of God. You've been stretched, you've been pulled, and sometimes you feel like you've been pulled down. Can I get up? Can I get up, God, where you have shown me to go? Can I get up and rise above my circumstance? And I hear the Spirit of God say, not only are you going to rise, you're going to fly. You're going to fly. You have been waiting and waiting and waiting to the point that you feel like he walked past you. But beloved, I'm here to tell you, because you've been waiting, you shall renew your strength. You're a blessed woman of God. I don't know you, but I know you by the Spirit. Because I know you by the Spirit, beloved, I know what's inside of you, says the Spirit of God. I've given it to you. What you do not have is not what he's asking for. It's what he's already given you that people are asking for. Release it. Release it. When I said that about when you don't have a lot, he's going to give you much more. You're that transitional phase. I see the River Jordan right before you, and you're getting ready to cross over. You've been in your transitional phase. He said, it's been too long. It's been like this for over a year and a half. I just can't take this no more. I need to see what God you have shown me, but I don't know how to get it. God says, you're not in your now no more. You're stepping into your then. Because your now was your then. But now you're going to step into your next. I bless you, Lord. I bless you. Peter begins to preach the greatest message, and guess how many people got saved that day? 3,000. Why? Because the passion and the compassion that came from John the Beloved rubbed off and had the passion within Peter to believe and reach out and to stretch to those that no one wanted to stretch to. He says, I'm not going to take this. I'm going to give it away. And 3,000 were brought into the kingdom. Why? Because the kingdom is expanding and we're being stretched. He was shouting, dancing. In the sentence before, people came running, and then they see him leaning. They see him leaning, but he's still standing. I'm here to tell you, you may be shouting and dancing in a season, and then there's a season that you feel like, I can't do it no more. Just lean on me. Just lean on me. Just lean on me. I got you, says the Spirit of God. I got you. Just lean on me. You're not where you used to be. He didn't say he went back to sit down. He was standing. See, his then could not be in his now. Couldn't. 10 minutes ago cannot be in your now. Because it was then. But your now, right now, can't be in your next either. Because it's not happened yet. We've got to walk some things out that make no sense. And once you walk those things out, you begin to see change. And when they left the lame man where he belonged, in the city, in the church, bringing good news. Why? Because there was a demonstration to the declaration that was sent. When was it sent? If you read back earlier in Acts chapter 1, the fire of the Holy Ghost fell on the disciples in the upper room. Fell on them. Like tongues of fire. What was it for? It was to begin to do the demonstration of his goodness. The demonstration of his power that was on high was now released here on earth, because heaven now has invaded earth. And we're to take this very power that is within. That's what he did. But what I do have, I give you. Get up and walk. See, that's everything inside of you is what's on high. And release it. I talked about that dynamic duo, Peter and John. It's you and the Holy Ghost. You and the Holy Ghost. You can make change. And even when everybody wants to condemn you because you ain't got it right, or you're making a mess, or you're making a mess up, or things don't look like or sound like it's supposed to be, you are doing this with God. The Holy Spirit is with you. If you're going to mess up, mess up. But he's there to pick you up. Here's the thing. Don't stay down. Get up. Because when he gets you back up, he'll have you lean on him. I got you. When you can't, I got you. I got you. It's so hard. I got you. I got you. Lean on me. Just lean on me. I got you. You don't know how to move into the next phase of your life. I got you. You don't understand how to renew your mind. I got you. You don't know how your next step is going to be without the help of somebody else. But we're a dynamic duo. And we're going to walk this thing out together. The whole time, can you imagine what John was doing? I'm with you, Peter. Side by side. I'm with you through the thick and thin. Even when you make the wrong decisions, I'm with you. Even when it seems like we can't make it, I'm with you. Even when you want to throw it in, quit, I'm with you. Even when you feel like it's not changing, I'm with you. We're going to do this together. I may be the silent one, but I know I'm the one that's there for you. I may not be the one doing much, but I'm helping you more than you know. You may not see me moving and doing what you're doing, but I'm with you. I stand with you. I'll go to prison with you. I'll go through the fire with you. But I'm with you. When you want to quit, I'm with you. I may not say much, but I'll keep my head on the chest of Jesus for you. And I will pray you through when you have no strength to pray. I will pray you through when you feel you can't even go on anymore. John looked to his brother Peter and said, I got you. Just like we got him. I got you. We can't do this by ourselves. The very model that Jesus created is he sent them out two by two. Thank you. He sent them out two by two. You're seeing the witness and the demonstration of the power because he sent them. He sent them. They didn't just get up and go. They were sent. I'm here to tell you that your greatest breakthrough and your greatest miracle is right there in front of you. Right in front of you. You may not be looking for the miracle. You may not be asking for it. But it's going to be extended and stretched in your direction. It's going to be stretched. Stretch your hands out, baby. It's going to be stretched in your direction. It's going to be stretched in your direction. Stretched. Your job is to stretch back and reach back. See, the man could have just put his hand down and said, that's not what I asked for. But the lame man stretched, and he reached out to his miracle. And he grabbed hold of something he wasn't asking for. He wasn't praying for. He wasn't asking to be healed because he didn't think he could be healed. Why? He only had a mindset of where he was at. But the disciple stretched. He stretched. And the circumstance changed. I'm here to declare to you that your circumstance right now is stretching towards God. And the hand of the Lord is stretching towards you to bring change into your atmosphere and your surroundings, to bring wholeness back in the home, wholeness back into the marriage, back into the life of the children. The Bible says that in the last days, I will turn the hearts of the fathers unto the children and the hearts of the children back unto the fathers. And whatever the enemy has done to try to dislodge, disconnect, or divide, the Spirit of God is going to bring together to turn it around. Because God is stretching his hand. The ultimate demonstration of his love is when he stretched open his arms and died on that cross. He died for you. But it didn't stop there. The third day he resurrected from the tomb. That was a demonstration of the declaration that was given. You can't have a declaration without a demonstration. Your greatest miracle is stretching towards you now. In this atmosphere right now, I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. As you stand to your feet right now and you say, I need the Holy Ghost to stretch right now towards me, and I will stretch towards him. I need the Holy Spirit to stretch into my circumstance. I need the Holy Spirit to just extend his hand to me. He says, you've been down there long enough. You've been going through this long enough. You've endured much. You've relied on other things. You've relied on other people. You've relied on things. But now, what you have not asked for, I give you now. And what I have, I give you, says the Spirit of God. I give you power. I give you strength. I give you strength unto your feet so that you can run the race that has been set before you. That you can stand on the path that I have put you on. That you can stand, but you can walk and you can jump and you can dance before the Lord. Because you're setting the atmosphere for the renewal of your mind. A transformation of the mind and the spirit where it aligns with the Word of God. And you will see that every circumstance, that even the body has to align with the Word of God. See, the feet were not spoken to. He just says, what I give you, walk. He spoke to the circumstance and said, what you cannot do, you are going to do. And I speak into the lives right now, to those that have ailments in your body, those that are going through circumstances with your body. I speak into your body now, do as it's been ordained to do. I speak into your finances right now in the name of Jesus. If you're in lack, you're about to come into abundance. You'll come to the overflow. And what has been held up is going to be loose. And I'm going to speak into the marriages right now that was coming to divide. I speak unity. I speak passion and love so that you can become one, used by the fire of God. Father, I thank you right now that every person under the sound of my voice, you have already spoken into their heart and under the Spirit. Now let their mind be renewed to see themselves in their next. In their next. Let them see themselves beyond their now and way past their then. Let them see themselves in their next, God. But let them make change in their now that will make them get towards their next. God, I thank you that we're not the same. That when we leave here today, Lord, even if we got to get propped up by you, when we feel like we can't do it, even after we've been shouting and dancing, Lord, I thank you that I can lean on you because you're the one that gave me what I needed, even when I didn't ask for it, even when I wasn't spiritual, even when I wasn't praying, you extended your hands to me. And when you extended your hand to me, you spoke to my circumstance. And you gave me strength in my weakness. You aligned what was out of alignment, and you renewed what was old. And you gave me a newness, and I thank you for the renewing of my mind. I ask you that you stand here today. Are you ready to dance before the Lord? Are you ready to dance before the Lord? Are you ready to dance before the Lord? So that the people in the religious mindset can turn and look at your then and see you going to your next. Amen, amen, amen. We can't walk out of here the same. You have to understand that God is moving. Healing comes because he releases it. If you don't stretch towards it, you're just asking for alms, a handout. But if you stretch, God will enlarge and expand your faith. Amen. I want you, if you would, please high-five your neighbor and say, I'm stretching. Come on. High-five. I'm stretching. But I'm going to get my dance on. That last song. I'm going to get my dance on. Come on. Get your dance on. Come on. I'm going to get my dance on. Tell him. Come on. That's it. Come on. I feel a shout coming on. Huh? All right. Come on. Oh, turn that up, Josh. You just irritate the devil, Josh. Turn it up, Josh. Oh, yeah. With word concerning your immediately, concerning your now, and concerning what is about to take place. He is speaking to the circumstance that you have been in, but he's taking you out of it. We've been seeding the atmosphere for miracles. Miracles. I'm here to tell you that your miracle is waiting on you to stretch. Stretch. Because he's going to change it. that the next hand that you may be shaking may be the one that's going to bring the greatest miracle into your life. Come on now. Come on now. See, this man didn't know who Peter was. Didn't know who Peter was. They may not know who you are, Jackie, but they're going to stretch their hands. And will you stretch back and receive what God says it was for you all along? The enemy can't keep it no more. I speak against that foul spirit. And I loose here and let go now in the name of Jesus. Stretch and receive. Stretch and receive. Stretch. God is making a change in the atmosphere. The church as we know as a whole is not the same. Watch this. You can be the bride waiting in the chambers, but the process in which you get ready for the bridegroom is different each time. You may be at the point where they're working on your feet. They may be getting all the dead skin off of the walk that you had walking with God, because you've been callous carrying good news. That's free. That's just a little belong for you. That was a nugget I got for you. See, they had to work on shaving off the dead skin on the feet before the bride could go before the bridegroom. Ooh-wee. My God, some of the dead skin is coming off right now. Some of the hardness right now is coming off. Some of the things that has gone through the elements of your walk with God is coming off. And it's taking an instrument to just remove it and cut it off. I submit unto you, beloved, to go before the hand of God and submit yourself as a living sacrifice. So that in the hour and the time that he calls upon you, he shall raise you up. And bring you into that place of promotion. Bring you into that place of overcoming. Oh, Father, I release his blessing in their life right now, Father. And for whatever process that we may be in, Father, I thank you that you put us on that path in that process. And you're using us as a prop to demonstrate what you've declared into our life. So, Father, we thank you. And as we release them today, Father, I thank you that they walk right into their miracle, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe this, I want you to give the Lord a shout as loud as you can. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless you. Let his face to shine upon you. Let the grace and mercy of God go before, with, and behind you to carry you all the days of your life. I bless you. I love you. Be expecting to stretch. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week.